In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The Bible says, again, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And the passage of Scripture before in 2 Samuel, the Bible begins to explain how that when we call upon the Lord, that God got stirred up about it. And the Bible says in verse 11 of that chapter that God came riding in on the wings of the wind. I want to preach to you tonight, prophesy to the wind. Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask you to speak in this house tonight. Help us to have ears to understand what the Spirit of God would say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may say to me tonight, well, I'm not a prophet. I began by reading the scripture that said, I will call upon the Lord. The Bible says that when we do, God comes riding in on the wind. Prophesy to the wind. I'm thankful that God breathes new life into old mantles. Do you believe that tonight? Yes. God breathes new life into old mantles. That God rebuilds dreams. That God restores vision. Even when things look bleak and hopeless, we have to remind ourselves that everything about our future belongs to God. As a minister, my greatest desire is to come alongside you and help you push the gas pedal on your spiritual life, your spiritual walk with God. I have no other motive, no other desire except to just help you put your foot down harder on the accelerator. Yes. That is my desire, but it is up to each of us individually to start where God tells us to begin. Did you catch that? It's up to us to start where God tells us to begin. Sometimes the things that we are shown or we are led by God to do don't seem to make too much sense. But as I read this very familiar account in Scripture in Ezekiel 37, I kept going back to how Ezekiel began describing what took place. I know that he was seeing the house of Israel. I know that God was showing him how he was going to restore Israel. But as a matter of preaching to you tonight about how God wishes to breathe life back into you, Ezekiel began describing what took place in his life, and he began by saying, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." When he began to talk about what God was showing him and what he needed to do, he started out with those words. The hand of the Lord was upon me. The hand of God touched this man and took him in the spirit and caused him to see a valley filled with dry bones. That in itself seems strange when you try to analyze it with a human mind. But then God wanted Ezekiel to speak to dry bones. I remember a time a few years ago when the schedule of preaching, the demand of ministry, became very heavy on my life. And it was so heavy until one day I knelt before the Lord and I just could not understand why God would pick me. I was a little nobody from Searcy, Arkansas, raised a farm girl. All I wanted to do was get married, have a family, be a mom. I didn't want to be a preacher. Why would you place me into this role? And it was so heavy on me. So heavy on my shoulders, the feelings of not measuring up, not being able to do it, that I fell on my knees one day to the Lord and I said, God, why would you choose me? Can't you see how weak I am? Don't you see? Don't you understand how inadequate that I feel to be a minister of your gospel. God, why would you want me to do this? When suddenly the Lord took me in the spirit. The Lord still does that, you know. The Lord took me in the spirit and showed me a big hand coming toward me with its finger outstretched right toward my face. And he pointed straight at me and he said, Melissa, when I place my finger of direction on a life, it is because that is where I chose to put my finger. It's that simple. Stop asking me why and just walk with me and work with me. Stop trying to measure up and be adequate. I put my finger on your life. You got to start where I told you to begin. That may not mean much to you, but it was a very poignant moment in my life. And I've never again asked the Lord the question, why do you want me to preach? Why do you want to use me? I've simply said, Lord, use me. I'm yours. When God puts his hand on you, you've got to learn how to walk under the weight of that mighty hand. Amen. When God put his hand on the man Jacob, the weight of that touch caused him to limp the rest of his life. That limp reminded him that he had been with God, that the hand of the Lord had been on him. So the hand of God takes Ezekiel out and shows him a valley of very dry bones. And God says to that prophet, prophesy to the wind. In human civilization, wind has inspired myths. It has influenced the events of history. Understanding the power of wind expanded the range of transport, the abilities of warfare. Understanding wind provided power for mechanical work and electricity. It powered huge ships across the sea, huge aircraft. Use wind to increase lift in the air and to reduce their fuel consumption. Wind can shape landforms. Desert sands can be moved great distances by prevailing winds. We've been told that winds that blow in Africa by a strongly can be seen in the atmosphere over America. The value and the importance of wind or air is self-evident. We can live for days, days and days without food and even water. We can live an entire lifetime without sight or hearing. But you can only live a very, very short amount of time without a breath of air. Some people can hold their breath for 60 seconds, maybe 2 or 3 minutes after a lot of training. But after just that short amount of time, the body has to have another breath of air. A brain cannot survive after even just a few minutes without oxygen. They are called brain dead if the oxygen cannot get to the brain. We all know this. We know that you have to have the breath of life to live. I learned this lesson very specifically one time around the year 2010. I took a young lady from South Mississippi to India with me. She was only 18 years old, and her mama was one of them deep South Mississippi cooks. Y'all come over to my house, everybody come, we'll drink a glass of milk, I don't care, y'all just come over. Her mama was very, very nervous about her baby girl going to the nation of India with me. So very far away from Mississippi. As a mother now, I understand what I didn't understand then. However, we made it safely to India, and our trip was going just fine. We traveled out into the more remote villages, and life is very hard there. Conditions are not very pleasant. Accommodations are very, very basic, with no comfort at all. We made it to the village where we would be ministering in, and the house that we would stay in was literally in the middle of a wheat field. They were surrounded by wheat fields. We were so tired dealing with jet lag, pretty glad to get to a room, even though the three of us would be sharing one queen-size bed made up of a board plank. No mattress, no pillows, just a platform bed with a sheet of what looked like OSB on the top of it. But we were so tired that we were happy to just lay down on the board. We didn't care. And just as we did, we got as comfortable as we could on that board. The electricity went out. We lost the air that was moving in the room from the ceiling fan. We were just starting to go into a jet lag induced coma. Whenever the young lady sat straight up beside me in the bed and I mumbled something, "Are you okay? I'm just in a coma. Are you all right?" She said yes, but I could tell that she couldn't seem to get enough air. I thought that she meant she was hot because there's no air circulating. So I went back to sleep. And I realized a few minutes later that she was climbing off of that board bed and she was sitting up in a chair in the room. I did not know that she had always dealt with pretty bad asthma. And when the ceiling fan went off, her airways were made very aware of all of the pollution in the remote village. When we arrived, they were in the middle of burning off their wheat fields and harvesting them. So you can imagine the smoke and the pollution that was in the air. And then things took a very serious turn. Her inhaler was not in her bag. And she was starting to really struggle to breathe. We called the pastor. He came to the room and we said, "What can we do?" Of course, we were praying, but she was having a harder and harder time. She's breathing like this over in the corner and it started to get pretty serious. We called the pastor, who told us that the nearest hospital was over 2 hours away. That we could pile in the car. All five of us piled into a very, very small car and took off. And the pastor's son started driving through this village at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everything is dark, no hospitals, no clinics, nothing. We were praying. I was telling the Lord, "Something happens to this girl, her mama in Mississippi will kill me. She will. Lord, if you don't do a miracle right now, my life is at stake." And this girl was having extreme difficulty getting air into her lungs. In the back of that vehicle, Mama Loretta was sitting in the middle. We were praying the whole way, driving through the village. And that girl's over there going, "Ugh." Her chest was rattling and she was wheezing worse than anyone I've ever heard. And it was right then, as we were praying, we began to pray that God would do something, show up in our situation. Right then, the wind of God began to blow our way. We rounded a corner in that remote village, and there at 2 o'clock in the morning was a royal blue sign lit up on the top of the house, lighting up the entire street, and in English, in an area where they spoke no English at all, it said, "Asthma Specialist of North India." That preacher's son got out of the car, ran over to that door, banged on that tin door until the man came. Within a few moments, that girl had a breath of life back into her body. And I'm here to tell you, just like that girl, when the wind of God begins to blow your direction, you will come alive. We find repeatedly in the word the declaration, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." We tend to view that scripture very literally, the literal breath of air that's coming in and out of our body. But if you've got breath in your nostrils, you should praise God. But what about the spiritual aspect of that? Let everything that has breath in it, everything that the breath of God is in, should freely praise Him. And if you're not able to freely praise God, no matter how good or how bad it is, when you look around you, then it's highly likely that your spirit man is running out of air.
Yes, that's true.
We cannot see the wind, and many times we do not even feel it, but all around us, there is an ocean of air that we cannot exist without. Without it, almost all of our senses would be blind and deaf and vain. Sound could not be communicated without air. The songs we have sung tonight travel on the airways. They would not reach us unless unless it went through the air. Without the atmosphere of air around us, heat would be unknown. Every drop of blood in our bodies would instantly freeze if we passed beyond the airstream that distributes the heat of the sun to us. Because God is who He is, we can look at all of the incredible imagery that He paints for us in the natural and see a picture painted of what the breath and the wind of the Holy Ghost does to our lives, for our lives. He brings that breath of life for the spirit man, and He creates the atmosphere which allows us to see the things of God, hear the voice of God, live in the warmth of God's love. In the natural, near the earth's surface, there is something that science calls friction. And when friction occurs, it causes the wind to be slower than it would be otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Come on, listen.
I'm going right there.
Listen.
The Holy Ghost would do a lot more among us if we got out of the way. If we didn't have friction going on in our lives that slowed down the moving of the wind. One definition of friction is defined as a conflict caused by the clash of wills or opinions. No wonder the wind of God doesn't blow as often as He would, because we all have opinions and they're not always based in the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. There's also something in nature called a sustained wind speed, which is usually at a height of 33 feet in the air. That may not sound very high to you, but it is a whole lot higher than anybody in this room. Which says to me that if you want a constant, sustained wind of the Spirit blowing in your life, your focus has to be lifted beyond what is always going on in your daily activities. We need the breath of God to blow in the lives of the people who call themselves after the name of Pentecost. But we don't need it just once in a while. We need a sustained wind, which is going to require something out of us. Remember in 2 Samuel, David said, "In my distress, I cried out to God." He didn't wallow around in what was going on in his life or what the enemy was coming against him with. David cried out, and that passage says, I told you, that God came riding in on the wings of the wind. We have to do the crying out, so God will come blowing in with the breath of life. I read a story one time about a church who put a furnace into their new building. But when everybody came into the first service, the church was freezing cold. The heated air would not blow in, even though the ducts were open and the fire was burning. They called in an expert to check it out, who told them that while they had made a provision for letting in the fresh air, they had made no provision for letting the old air out. No fresh air could come in until the old air was expelled. And as a result, the people sat there shivering. Sometimes we come to church and we sit there shivering in our spiritual lives, wondering why the Holy Ghost doesn't blow on us. But I think you know that I'm about to tell you why. It's because that nothing is going out from you. If you're not crying out to God in the altar, there's no worship, praise. You're not letting go of the friction. There's no speaking life going out from you. Then that fresh wind is not going to come in.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you come up here and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but you don't open your mouth. Enough said. You come up here and you say, God, I want to be filled with you, but I'm not going to cry out to you. I'm not going to say anything. You get a hold of my tongue, yank it around, and make me do it.
Come on.
The easiest I've ever seen people filled with that breath of God was in a service in India when we just grabbed hands. We had already had church for 2 hours that morning, 3 hours. We were supposed to have class, but class got interrupted by the breath of God blowing in, the wind of God. For 3 hours, they praised God, they worshiped God. And when church was over, I sat down because I've been praying for 3 hours with these people. I sat down and I heard wailing outside of the room. And I said, what in the world is going on? We've been in church for 3 hours. This young lady, 17 years old, walks in and she said, when is it my turn?
Come on.
I said, what do you mean? What, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? She said, yes. I've been in this service and they all got filled and they all got filled. When is it my turn? I said, right now is your turn. We grabbed hands. She said, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boom. This breath of God blew into that body and filled her with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
If you don't let something out and cry out to the wind and say, come blow on me. Come blow on the dry bones. Wind of God, come blow in my life. But if you will, God will come riding in on the winds to you. Whether it's in your distress or in your praise, God will come riding in. In nature, the two major driving forces of wind are the heat from the sun and the rotation of the planet. In other words, the power of the sun and the movement of the earth causes the wind to move. In other words, the power of Jesus, the S-O-N, the sun, and the movement of this earth named Melissa are the driving forces for the wind of God to blow in my life. And we know that the power of the Son of God doesn't change. It does not fluctuate. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the reason why the wind doesn't blow like it would must have something to do with the movement of this earth. That precious wind of God isn't going to just barge in and knock you over. He has a need to be wanted. He has a need to be invited. We have to be looking for him, hungry for him, open to him, receive him as well as ask, believe as well as pray, thirst as well as know the secret to drinking that water. Give and not just money.
Yes, yes.
They were all together on the day of Pentecost, but they weren't all just there. They were waiting. They were praying. They were looking for God to come to them. And suddenly there came a sound as a rushing mighty wind that blew into that place, and God filled them with the power of the Holy Ghost. There was another time. I guess I'm telling you about India tonight. There was another time in North India when I was preaching a message, and as I was preaching, just like Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord came upon me. And while I was preaching, I began to prophesy in that room to those Bible school students. And as the word of the Lord came out of my mouth, the wind of God literally began to blow in that room. It was the only time in my life, not before or since, have I ever heard what they must have heard on the day of Pentecost. A wind blew into that room that day, and people began to instantaneously jump to their feet, shouting, dancing, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And at the same moment, I look up and I see a Hindu man standing in the back door. He's standing there watching everything that's happening in this room. The pastor went back and spoke to them, and the man said, I've been praying. Been praying and praying to know which God is the one true living God. And as I was driving by on this highway, my car tire suddenly burst. And I got out to look at my tire, and I heard a noise going on in this room. And I came to see what the noise was that was happening in this room. And he stood there and he said, this is the one true living God. When God begins to ride in on the wings of the wind, people come alive.
Yes.
Come, O wind of God, and blow on us.
Granted, Jesus.
Once again.
Granted, Jesus. Granted, Jesus.
It's bad to be dry. To get to the place where you feel like dried up bones with no life in them, that's a bad place.
Yeah.
When your bones are dry, it causes you to sing songs with your mouth like, there's no God like Jehovah. But the whole time you're singing it, you think God's forgotten about you. When your bones are dry, it causes you to sing, one friend we have, Jesus.
Come on.
While you never spend time with him outside of a church. It's bad to be dried up bones. It causes you to sing songs like, If I had 1,000 tongues, I'd praise him.
Yes.
Without ever using the one tongue you've already got. When God took Ezekiel out and showed him that valley of dry bones, it was a shocking thing to Ezekiel. God asked him, not the other way around. God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Son of man, can these bones live? I'm not sure what Ezekiel felt in that moment, but if I had been the one God is asking, I would have said,
yeah.
Come you're on. God.
Come on.
But when we see a valley, God sees an opportunity. Because as dry as these bones are, God said they weren't without hope. As dry as they were not without a chance to live again. You hear me? As dry as those bones were, they were not without a chance to live again. That is where God told Ezekiel to prophesy. This kind of prophesying was that of speaking life. He said, open your mouth, Ezekiel, and tell those bones to come back together. If you know the story, you know that the Bible says that there was a shaking and a rattling of those bones. They came back together to form a body, and the skin came back on the bones. Now you hear me tonight. Some of you have felt a touch from the Lord, and the word of God has gone forth, and you heard it. Perhaps you even responded to it. And maybe you even felt a shaking on the inside. Maybe you felt a shaking on the outside. But after that moment, you still felt like you were in a powerless condition, because without that breath of God, you have not fully come alive in the Holy Ghost. Just like those bones, they heard the word, they came together, but they were still not living and moving and breathing. But then God tells that man, prophesy to the wind. Ezekiel, prophesy and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these that they may live. The Bible says that the wind began to blow, that God came riding in on that wind. Breath came back into those bones, and they stood up on their feet. The Bible says they were an exceeding great army. Think about that. Former dead bones are now an army. I know you've heard that, you've heard that, you've heard that. The valley of dry bones came back together. Ezekiel, valley of dry bones, yes, they came back together. The breath of God came back into them. But I came to you tonight to tell you that when everything looks dead and dry, there is still hope. Prophesy to the wind. What is it that you need the wind of God to do? Do you need him to blow away the dry desert sand that's formed in your spiritual walk? He can do that. Do you need a fresh breath of air in your walk with God? All you've got to do is call out to him and say, come, O wind of God, and blow on this garden. Come, O wind of God, and blow. David said, in my distress, I cried out to him, and God came riding in on that wind. Ezekiel prophesied to the wind, and the wind came and blew on those bones, and they came back to life. In closing, I go back to another moment in my walk with God. I was weeping and praying in the room of a friend who had just died in India. My age, young woman, ready to work for God. And now I'm standing there as she's laying dead on a bed. I'm crying. I'm thinking, God, this says she can't die. We began to call on the Lord in that room. And we began to pray and intercede. We began to prophesy to the wind and say, wind of God, come back and come blow in our direction. And I distinctly remember, it's been almost 20 years ago now, I distinctly remember the sound when that breath of life came back into that girl's body. I remember that, that breath that again, go. The breath of God come back into those bones and bring them back to life.
Yes.
I remember for several days watching that girl. She had the breath of life back in her, but she was struggling still to take in enough air. One evening, I began to wash that girl's feet. I could have washed her feet with my tears. I didn't need any water. Because of this situation that I'm witnessing, I was just 20 years old. Washing that girl's feet, and I wept as much as I poured water. And she was weeping and struggling to breathe at the same time. And all of a sudden, just like it happened one more time for that prophet Ezekiel, I felt that the hand of God was upon me. And I began to speak life back to her body. And I said, breathe. I command your body to breathe in the name of Jesus. And just as suddenly and as forcefully as you ever heard the wind blow, the breath of life rushed back into that body again. She began to breathe and laugh and cry and rejoice all at the same time, and she was well from that day forward. There is a wind of God that blows. I noticed that Ezekiel did not prophesy to only one direction of wind, but the Bible says that he prophesied to the four winds. He didn't ask for a little breeze to blow in so the bones didn't have to feel so dry. He didn't ask for God to come and change how the bones felt about the valley. He asked for the wind from all directions. It was an all-encompassing, all-consuming, every direction that you turn kind of wind. It wasn't a church life kind of wind. It was an all-day, everyday kind of wind that blew in. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be too satisfied with a touch of the wind that you felt at one time. Or the breeze that blew into your life when somebody laid hands on you. Sometimes we go way too long without asking God for the wind of the Holy Ghost to blow our direction. I think God gets weary with looking into places that are set up to be houses of worship. There's nothing coming out from that house of worship. There's no crying out for him to come. I don't want to live an existence of knowing all about God and who God is and be bones walking around in a state that is spiritually dry. So I believe there are still people in this very room who want to experience God so deeply, and they want to be in his army so much that they will hunger and cry out until God comes riding in.
Amen.
You know, last Sunday night, my husband preached about the oil, and Alyssa, do you mind? Do you mind me telling? Alyssa, God, she came up here, and she prayed, and she cried, and she prayed, and she cried, and then all of a sudden, the wind of God blew into that body, and that girl began to come alive in the Holy Ghost. And from that point on, the rest of the altar service, she was laughing. She was tough. She could barely even talk. She turned around, looked at me, and said, I feel like a completely different person. I feel like something just broke off of me. I feel like I'm alive. I feel like I have a different point of view. Why? Because the wind of God came blowing in to somebody who was asking for him to blow in. Would you stand with me tonight? Some of you may have situations going on in your life and in your family that I don't know the specifics of. But I do know that tonight we're going to speak to the wind and ask him to begin to blow in that direction. That prophet began to cry out, and he said, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's what I want you to do right now. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Deuteronomy tells us to choose life so that we and our seed may live. If there's somebody that has a situation in your family that feels dry right now, I want you to lift your hand to God and begin to prophesy to the wind and say, come, O wind of God, and blow in the direction of my family. Come, O wind of God, and blow. Bring us back to life. We feel dry, Lord. We need help. We're in a valley where the bones look like they are washed over and dried out. Lord, we need your We prophesy to the wind, and we say, wind of God, blow in this house. Wind of God, come from every direction. All encompassing, all consuming wind of God, blow in this place. Let there be a revival that takes place from this house, God. Let worship come from this house. Let it come out.